We look at the scriptures and read through the Apostle Paul. Paul was different from all the other apostles. He wasn't with Jesus while he was here on earth. He wasn't among the 12 apostles that were named in Luke chapter 6. Starting with verse 12, Luke chapter 6, and starting with verse 12, it was at that time that he went off into the mountains to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when he came, when the day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who is called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. These are the names of the 12 apostles. And yet, if we look, Paul's not there. In fact, Paul started out as a very zealous persecutor of the church. He put people in prison. He ordered their deaths. So how is it that Paul became an apostle? Now, Paul did claim apostleship. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. He was called, he was brought in as an apostle. In the same book, in chapter 11, and in verse 13, Romans chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, but I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Paul's job was to be an apostle, particularly to a group, the Gentiles, which was the majority of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and in verse 1, it says, Paul, called as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. It was by God's will that Paul was an apostle. It was not necessarily his choice. That same type of statement is found in 2 Corinthians, and in Ephesians, and in Colossians, and 2 Timothy, which we'll won't take time to read. But in Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul makes sure that we understand he is an apostle by God the Father and by Jesus Christ. And it had nothing to do with men. Going on to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. It was by God's command. It was an order, something to be obeyed. And also in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, 1 Timothy 2, verse 7, it says, for inasmuch as I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. He was appointed. God put him in the place that he was at. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 11, 2 Timothy 1 verse 11, it says, for as much as I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. And finally, also in Titus chapter 1 verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of the chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. It was because of the faith. He was apostle according to the faith. Notice all the way through here, Paul is not just saying, hey, my title is apostle. He claimed it was by God's will, and it was at God's command. the reason why he was an apostle. No man made him an apostle. And that includes himself. He's saying, I didn't choose this job. I was commanded into this job. I was appointed into this job. And he said it was according to the faith. This was God's will. This was what God wanted. What made a person an apostle? The word apostle itself means one who's sent. And in the Bible, it's a person who is sent particularly by Christ to witness Christ and to represent Christ. Take a look at Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even into the remotest parts of the earth. What made a person an apostle? They were witnesses of Christ. And they were sent. Paul and Peter and the other apostles stated they were witnesses in chapter 2 and verse 32. Acts chapter 2, verse 32 says, this Jesus God raised again, which we are all witnesses. They were witnesses to the resurrection. That was the main part. It was not necessarily the life on earth. That was an important part of it. But they were evidence. They personally knew that Christ was raised from the dead. And that's one of the reasons why they were apostles. Paul himself, though, was also a witness to that resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 1, Paul says, now I have made known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, and some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And by his grace toward me, he did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all these, yet not I, but God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. The reason why Paul's an apostle, he was a witness to the resurrection. He was untimely born. He came after the others. But he did personally witness the fact that Jesus Christ was alive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse 1 it says, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? These are rhetorical questions. The answers to all of them are true. He is free. He is an apostle. Why? He has seen Jesus personally. Now, none of the apostles were self-appointed. That's an important point. We got to understand that. Not one apostle ever appointed themselves as apostle. They were tasked by the Lord himself. Paul was sent. Get my verses right here. Yeah. Paul was sent to the Gentiles just as Peter was sent to the Jews. Take a look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 7. But on the contrary, seeing that I am entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked on Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectively worked for me also to the Gentiles. And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed as to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. These two groups were apostles. If you claim Peter is an apostle, you have to claim Paul's an apostle, what Paul's saying. Both were tasked by Christ. And notice that it was accepted by the leading men of that time. People understood this was what God had given Paul to do. And the message was not left to them. God gave them the words that they were to speak. They were not making things up. In John chapter 15, John 15 and verse 26, John 15, starting with verse 26, is when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. He again is talking to the apostles. He's not talking to you and I in this passage. We have not been with Christ from the beginning. But he is talking to the apostles. You are going to testify about me. How are you going to be accurate? The Holy Spirit's going to help you. He's going to testify, and then you will testify. And also in John, in chapter 16, and in verse 13, John 16, 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Again, even the Spirit is not going to make up anything. He's going to give exactly what the Father wants. Coming through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to the apostles. Well, take a look at Galatians 1 as part of our scripture reading. In Galatians 1 and verse 11, and notice what Paul says about where his teachings came from. Galatians 1, starting with verse 11, says, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Where did Paul get his message? He talked to Christ directly. He was not, in fact, he emphasized he wasn't instructed by the other apostles. Down in verse 15, he said, but when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him through the among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once again to Damascus. Paul never went to Jerusalem before he started preaching. He couldn't have learned it from the other apostles. They were all down there. He spent time in Arabia and then spent 3 years in Damascus. The only source he had was Christ himself, because nobody else taught him that. And yet he taught the same thing as all the other apostles, which is an evidence of it. In fact, Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he and all the apostles got their words. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. Oops, I got verse 3, chapter 3, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Where did Paul's message come from? It came from the Spirit. No man can figure out what God wants. Just like you can't figure out what your wife wants, or your wife can't figure out what the husband wants. You can't read other people's minds. You can guess, but you can't read them. But your spirit knows it, and you can tell it to other people. And Paul is saying this is the same thing with God. How do we know what God wants? The Spirit told us, and it's the Spirit of God. He knows the depths of God, and He revealed it to us. And we gave those words to you. That message also was confirmed. It wasn't just a claim. The apostles had the ability to confirm that what they were saying was from God. Take a look at Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 14. Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as he was reclining at the table, and he approached them from reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and is baptized shall be saved, and he who disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Those signs accompanied those who believed, those who were teaching. And that testimony was done with power. Take a look at Acts 4. As they testified of the things that they knew. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 33. "And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." It wasn't just their words. God was backing them up with power, with ability to do miracles. In Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 4, "God also testifying with them," the apostles, "both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will." God backed up His message. He never expected anyone, just because they said, "Hey, I got a message for you from God, did you believe it?" God never asked people to do that. He gave them messages, but He also gave them evidence to show that it was from God. Well, Paul also performed miracles in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verse 11, "I have become foolish. You yourselves have compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you. For in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostle, even though I'm a nobody. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles." You know I was an apostle. You should have been commending me. How do you know? Because there were signs, miracles, wonders that were done by me. Also in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and in verse 18. "For such men were slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetite." Oops, I got 16. Romans 15, verse 18. "For I will not presume to speak of anything except that what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I preached the gospel, but it was accompanied by signs and wonders and miracles, powers from God. Again, this shows that Paul was an apostle. And apostles alone were among men given the right to pass on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Take a look at Acts chapter 8. You find no one else being able to give the Holy Spirit, to give the gifts of the Holy Spirit to others. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 14, Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 14, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they began to lay hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed by the laying on the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this authority as well. He thought he could buy this ability, and it's not for sale. It would have been sold anyway. But notice, it was given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Well, that ability was just demonstrated by Paul. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. It says, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul, Timothy was able to do miraculous things. He had the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How did he get them? Paul laid hands on him and gave it to him. As simple as that. You see, apostles were ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is someone who speaks on behalf of a ruler, the ruler of a country that he represents. He's the voice of that ruler, representing that ruler's desires and acting with that ruler's authority on his behalf. Even back in the older days, king can't be everywhere at once. And so they had ambassadors go out to represent their interests in other countries. Well, Jesus had ambassadors. We call them the apostles. In Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 18, Matthew 18 and verse 18, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. They were given the authority and the right and the need to bind the laws of God. They're not making up their own. The Greek's a little more clear than the English is. They were binding and loosing what was already bound and loose in heaven. They're taking the laws that existed and binding them on other people. And that was their authority as apostles. Well, Paul spoke with such authority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, after making what most of us would consider a controversial statement, Paul says, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandments. If you got problems with this, take it up with the Lord, because I'm representing the Lord to you. He was teaching them what the Lord had commanded. And he was among the ambassadors of the Lord. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, for though God were making appeal through us, we beg you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We're speaking on God's behalf. It's as if God is making his appeal right straight through us. We're ambassadors. All the apostles were, and Paul was among them. Now, even in this day and time, there were false apostles. There were people claiming to be apostles who really weren't. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." There are people who are going around, even in the first century, while the apostles were still there, claiming to be apostles. Are we surprised that people still do it today? No. But Paul says they were false apostles. How do we know? Their deeds will show in the end. It'll show up in what they do. As Paul had said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, that he was an apostle born out of due time. There was a proper time for people to become apostles. Paul was the exception to the rule. Nowadays, you've got a lot of people claiming that the rule is the other way around. People all born out of due time. So the 12 that were the exception. Paul said, no, it's the other way around. He called himself the least of the apostles, not because of a lack of ability, but because of his past. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. "And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also, for I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Paul was always embarrassed about his past. But it's not that he was claiming lack of ability. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5, "For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostle. But even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way, we made this evident to you in all things." Paul didn't lack in skill. He might not have been an eloquent speaker, but that didn't matter. He had the knowledge. He had exactly the same knowledge as the rest of the apostles, and he proved it. He had the same abilities as the other apostles, and he proved it. In fact, because of his past, what basically Paul says is, I worked harder. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15 again, and down in verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove in vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God was with me." Paul says, because of my past, I had to work harder. I had to overcome things that they didn't have to overcome. Like that old car commercial that says that we're number two, we try harder. Paul is saying, you know, yes, he's not inferior. He's not greater than the other apostles. He's not inferior to them either. He just had a bad past. In fact, for that matter, Paul considered him the least of all Christians. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7, "For which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me, according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." Paul understood his past was bad. But still, the evidence showed that he was an apostle of Christ. It showed in his work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm jumping around a little bit here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. And I have become foolish. You yourselves have compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you. For in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I was a nobody. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. And going back this time to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 2, we read verse 1 before. But take a look at verse 2. Paul says, if to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are my seal of my apostleship in the Lord. You know it. You're my proof. Because I taught you the gospel, you saw the miracles, you responded to it, and became Christians. And as we pointed out in Galatians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, he was recognized by the other apostles and leaders. They recognized that the gospel was committed to Paul to be delivered to the Gentiles. Something only Jesus could commit. No one else could have done that. They recognized the grace given to Paul. They saw the gift given to Paul by God. They recognized those miracles that he was doing were from God. And even Peter himself, in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 15, says, and regard as patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as in all his letters, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Notice he said it was given to Paul. He was inspired. He calls Paul's writing scriptures the writings of God. Peter recognized Paul as an apostle, as an inspired writer. He was among the three that Paul mentioned in Galatians as giving him fellowship, as an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, if Peter was wrong, then we have to throw out all of Paul's writings and all of Peter's writings and all of Peter's works, and now we got rid of most of Acts, because it's Peter and Paul are basically the features of Acts. Next thing you know, you don't have a New Testament. The apostles stood and said, these are the men who are apostles, and they counted Paul among them. Paul's writings, though they comprise about half of our New Testament, have caused a lot of people difficulty. There's a group that calls themselves Messianic Jews. I get notes from them every once in a while. They try as hard as they can to discount what Paul writes, or not outright reject Paul's writings. They'll take any evidence you want, but don't quote Paul. Why? Because Paul is the one who spoke so strongly about the old law and how it had ended. See, the evidence remains that Paul was an apostle selected by God in Christ, speaking by inspiration the commands of God on behalf of the king. To reject Paul is to reject who he represents, who is Christ. Because Paul was Christ's ambassador. And so again, before we close, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We cannot pick and choose in our Bible and say we like this part, we don't like that part. It is all from Christ. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, if anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandments. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to understand Paul represents Christ. And Paul was an apostle. Now, he did struggle with them. We're going to talk about that tonight as we go through the book of 2 Corinthians, about some of the difficulties of it. That hasn't ended, and we have to understand that. We have to stand up and say, this is the truth. Paul was an apostle. There are reasons for it that today that people claim to be apostles cannot possibly match. There is no apostles today live because the apostles have done their work. And no others were selected. But at this time, we have an opportunity. If there's anyone here who is a child of God and would like the prayers of the brethren to be out, or if there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God and put on Christ, there's no better time than right now that we have. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.